An annual list that ranks the states by gambling addiction does not surprise anyone by listing Nevada first. The state where you can play the slots while you're in the laundromat probably deserves that ranking. But that very same list puts Oregon in the top 10, at number 8, in fact, right behind casino-heavy New Jersey. California's in the middle of the national pack at 28th most addicted to gambling. Let's get into the methodology and some science on gambling addiction. The ranking is the work of the website Wallet Hub. That's where Jill Gonzalez is an analyst and a spokesperson, and she's appeared in NBC Nightly News, Fox Business Network, Wall Street Journal Live, and even NPR's Marketplace. Many more places involved is there as well. Jill Gonzalez, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Timothy Fong is with us as well. He's an associate clinical professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences and co-director of the UCLA Gambling Studies Program. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Fong.
Thank you for having me.
Jill, let's talk about the rankings first. So you got gambling friendliness plus gambling problem and treatment rank, and this is what gives you a total score?
Exactly. So we looked at two main categories there, but a lot goes into both of them. So when we were just looking at the first that you mentioned, gambling friendliness, of course, as you said, Nevada ranked number one, and a lot of that is just due to this one category alone. So we looked at the number of both commercial and tribal casinos per capita, the same with the number of gaming machines. We then looked at iGaming revenue, so a lot of those kind of in-app purchases that a lot of people are making on their phones through these kind of games, the same with lottery sales, limited stakes gaming revenues, and then finally the legality of all these things. Are daily fantasy sports legal? Sports gambling, horse race gambling, and how much illegal gambling operations we've found as well. And then secondly, we looked at the gambling problem and the treatment of it. So the percentage of adults 18 and up with gambling disorders, if there is an NCPG, which is the National Council on Problem Gambling affiliation, the presence of gambling addiction treatment programs, and the number of gambling-related arrests. So that is completely went into this ranking.
So when we're talking about gambling friendliness, number one is the most friendly, right?
You're right.
Okay, so Oregon's number 5, so definitely way up there in gambling friendliness. But now on the other one, the gambling problem and treatment rank, interestingly, Oregon shows up 38th. Does that make them 38th best or 38th worst?
So 38th is going to be more toward the bottom. 50th would actually be meaning that there's not much of a gambling problem or treatment kind of association there. So that's actually a better score for Oregon.
Okay. Now, California came in 28th. So what kinds of differences do you tend to find from state to state that would account for the sort of difference, particularly for states that share a border, as these two do?
Well, we have found that the more gambling-friendly a state is, so basically the more actual number of casinos, whether commercial or tribal, really does affect the number of gambling disorders within a state. So, you know, less so on fantasy sports or a lot of online betting, but those actual casinos oftentimes do correlate to the presence of people with gambling disorders. And we found that's kind of this groupthink that washes over people when they're actually in a casino. You tend to bet more money for longer.
Dr. Fong, let's bring you in here and talk about how we define a gambling problem.
Oh, sure, absolutely. First of all, we call it a gambling disorder, otherwise known as gambling addiction, compulsive gambling, pathological gambling, problem gambling. It's a diagnosable psychiatric disease characterized by inability to stop gambling despite harmful physical and psychiatric consequences that are caused by that gambling.
And so it's getting to interfere with your daily life is when it gets to be a disorder?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's in the family of addiction along with the other substance use disorders that we diagnose patients with. But very simply, when we see clients, we basically say, is your gambling causing more harm to your life, or is it helping to improve the overall quality of your life? If it's causing you harm and damage and stress and problems, that probably isn't an entertainment or recreational activity. It's certainly probably along the lines of an addiction.
And how prevalent are gambling disorders in the country? Do we have any idea approximately how many people might be eligible for identification as possessing a gambling disorder?
Yeah, we do. We've had some national surveys that place it somewhere in the order between 1 and 2% of the general population. Here in California, about 10 years ago, we did a large statewide survey that found nearly 4% of Californians, almost 1 out of 20 people walking around the state of California, met criteria for an actual diagnosable gambling addiction.
I wonder what the trend has been over time as it has become easier to obtain gambling through the internet or through the expansion of lottery programs, which Oregon has been fairly aggressive about, if the incidence of gambling disorders in the general population has increased or if the number holds steady but the opportunities increase.
You know, it's an interesting story. It's a half full, half empty kind of thing, and it depends on lots of factors. For instance, when you introduce gambling into a region, if you also introduce gambling prevention and treatment services for addiction, that prevalence rate doesn't really go up. If you introduce gambling and you don't have those sorts of services, and certainly all sorts of gambling disorders could rise. We also know in certain ethnic populations, such as certain Asian communities throughout America, the rates can be enormously high, as anywhere as 30-40% of the community. And other communities really have very, very little. So the story is a really fluid and dynamic one, and I really want to appreciate, you know, organizations like Wallet Hub putting together these sorts of studies, because they're not funded by the industry, they're not funded by, you know, special interests. It's just people who want to tell a story, and I think that's the sort of information that really needs to get out there.
We're talking about Wallet Hub's list of gambling-addicted states for 2016. Nevada on top, no surprise there. Oregon number 8, though, which might surprise a few people. California number 28 among the 50 states. And it is just the 50 states, not the District of Columbia, too, listed there. We have Dr. Timothy Fong from the UCLA Gambling Studies Program and Jill Gonzalez from Wallet Hub with us. You can join this conversation with your questions, your comments. Maybe you have an experience with a gambling disorder, either personally or near at hand. We'd like to hear your story at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Jill Gonzalez, for the folks who don't know Wallet Hub, give us a little starter set, would you?
Sure, and I appreciate the kind words, Dr. Fong. So Wallet Hub is a personal finance website. We develop these data-driven studies to really put the word out there in terms of things that affect your money, which, of course, this may or may not, depending kind of on your habits and on your behaviors, and really attach it to things that you can relate to, especially location. So a state-by-state analysis, city-by-city, metro areas as well, to see, one, what's the correlation here? You know, what's kind of the root of this problem, if, of course, there even is one? And we really do look at, you know, the states that are doing really well and excelling in certain areas and what it is that they're doing, and for the states that need some type of improvement, where they can actually, you know, try to implement that.
And how long have you been putting out the most gambling addicted states list?
So this was the first year here, because we had kind of gotten some feedback from our readers and from our users that they were interested in this. So we actually released this study before the Kentucky Derby, obviously one of the most popular betting days of the year. But we didn't want to just focus in on one race or one sect of gambling. We did want to encompass everything here so it could relate to more people.
So interestingly, that you mentioned the Kentucky Derby, because that sent me scurrying to look for the list, and Kentucky ended up the 43rd most gambling-addicted state, despite the presence of the Derby and Churchill Downs and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky, yeah, you think Kentucky Derby, you think a lot of gambling. We've seen that really is a one-off day. So instead of a gambling disorder where people really have trouble, you know, stopping themselves and walking away, this is kind of a one-off, more of a tradition that people seem to hold, that they really don't have any loss of control over. Also, not all forms of betting and gambling and casinos even are legal in Kentucky, so that helps a lot.
All right, let's talk about some of the other states on here, because I'm still trying to figure out the gambling problem and treatment rank, because it lumps a problem and its and the access to its ability to be remedied together. So if your state ranks number one, as Mississippi does, in gambling problem and treatment rank, so that indicates a greater level of problems and less treatment available?
Correct.
Okay. So at number 38, Oregon may have a problem, but or either it has fewer problems or more treatment available?
A little bit of both. So when we're looking specifically at Oregon, and again, we lumped four different metrics in here and was weighted for about 30% as a category, whereas gambling friendliness was ranked at 70%, which is why you see Oregon a little bit higher on the list there. But as far as the presence of gambling addiction, really not much in Oregon or California for that number. We also looked into the number of gambling arrests, where Oregon had very few, California actually a little bit higher in terms of that. So Oregon ranked 40th, 50th would be the best here, California ranked 20th. little bit more arrests there. So not really too bad of a problem at all in Oregon. As far as the percentage of people with gambling disorders, it ranked, or it had about 2.2% of the population. California, 1.9%.
Let's take some calls here for Jill Gonzalez and Dr. Timothy Fong as we talk about gambling addictions in the States. Here is Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I'm wondering if either of the guests knows if there's been any great change in the amount of use on video poker, originally called, now known as video lottery, if the change in name created any change in use.
All right, if terminology changes things, made it a little more, made it sanitary for some people. Dr. Fong, what about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can comment on that. So, again, those are two very different things. Video poker machines are kind of classically electronic gaming machines in bars and restaurants that are essentially just that. Also, the video lottery terminals, which are different kinds of games, not poker, but actually like Keno and various things like that. What we know absolutely is that the electronic gaming machine tends to be the most preferred form of gambling that patients report having trouble with in California, whether that's a slot machine or whether that's a video lottery terminal. There's something about that repetitive nature and complete ease of access that can make some people more vulnerable to things. I would highlight, though, that it's, you know, again, a very changing dynamic field where some places have a lot of progressive early prevention and treatment for lotteries and electronic things like that. But I think it's certainly an issue to be looked at.
Another call here from Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I know you people's hearts are in the right place, but it's kind of ironic that you're bouncing around with all of these statistics when basically you're simply dealing with a toxic product. Gambling, of course, has absolutely no redeeming qualities and should be outlawed, but I haven't heard you say that. Instead, you deal with all these various scientific things. Have any comment on that? Do you have any basic feeling that it's a terrible product like I do?
All right, thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Jill, are you placing any value judgments on these from Wallet Hub?
Sure. I mean, I think that you can say that about a lot of products that are completely legal or at least legal in certain states. I think if you told that to Nevada, if you told that to New Jersey, their economies would take a tough hit there. So that's, I mean, you know, to play devil's advocate, that's kind of what you have to say about maybe the tobacco industry in certain southern states or alcohol in some states. I mean, you have to remember at the end of the day, it is a business. And that's why we looked into treatment, why we looked into the presence here to make sure that states hopefully are offsetting some of these gambling operations with easy access to treatment.
Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, for better or worse, gambling has been part of American history and culture since our very founding father days. It's here to stay. It's not going away. It's part of our entertainment dollar. It's part of how we speak, how we think, how we talk. But this opinion is absolutely part of what a lot of Americans have, and I think we need to have ongoing discussions about the benefits and the disadvantages of a behavior like gambling, which really brings up really intense emotional feelings from all sorts of sides, both from the proponents and the opponents' side there as well.
I get Bill's distaste. He's expressed it before when we talk about gambling and the lottery on the program, and I wonder how common that is. I mean, I wonder if there are some people who would not go within 10 miles of a casino, but also might take place in the March Madness pool at work.
You know, again, there's Americans have a tremendous hunger and demand for gambling, and it's growing faster and faster as technology has expanded, as our smartphone technology has it. So this is the first time in our nation's history where there's not a huge voice of people saying, no more, we want this out of our homes. It's 100% accepted in so many communities in America right now. So I think those sorts of voices, you know, are important to hear. But, you know, again, the popular and majority voice of America is saying we want gambling and we want more of it.
Dr. Fong, let's talk about the smartphones angle. You brought it up a couple of times now. I mean, how much is available on smartphones now, and does it become a logical alternative for people who might not want to traipse out to go to play the video poker machines at the bar or something?
Well, you know, right now, many folks can gamble illegally on their smartphone by accessing the online illegal casinos. But if you look at the top 10 downloadable apps on iTunes, you know, many of them are basically slot machine virtual reality simulators where you actually play money, not to win money, but to play games that resemble slot machines. So we also know that simply as you get smartphone technology that increases availability and access and speed to casinos and gambling, particularly in the daily fantasy sports range or sports betting, that this certainly will increase access to gambling for everyone. So the landscape is certainly changing compared to where it was just 10 or 15 years ago. Just yesterday I saw a patient who was struggling with having casinos on her smartphone, and the old treatment days, we would just say, don't go to the casino. But now in 2016, we can't just say, oh, get rid of your phone, because you certainly do need your phone to survive. So it brings up some new challenges and new opportunities, I think, for early intervention and treatment prevention from gambling disorders.
To reset the discussion, we're talking about a list of the most gambling-addicted states put out by the website Wallet Hub. Oregon ended up number 8th in most addicted, Nevada number 1, no surprise there, but Oregon's right behind New Jersey, which has Atlantic City and casinos there. And California ended up number 28 on the same list, so in the middle of the pack. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue to talk about this. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from a different Bill, this one in Ashland. Welcome to the Exchange.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Bill Seger. I was just wondering if day trading stocks might be considered an addiction, and if that has been measured as well.
Interesting question. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. Dr. Fong?
Oh, absolutely. Day trading or investment is gambling, and we define gambling very simply as placing something of value at risk on an outcome of uncertain chance in order to win a larger reward. That's day trading. That's also daily fantasy sports, and in some respects, it's also real estate investing. So about 15 years ago, when we first started our gambling studies program, we were seeing a good percentage of folks who came in who were day traders, who lost a lot of money, who kept speculating, who kept, quote, playing and investing and staying in the game, but at the end of the day, eventually lost a lot of money. So the biological and psychological processes of that are very similar to pulling a slot machine or making a bet in a casino.
I know that you're with the Gambling Studies Program, and Wall Street probably wouldn't appreciate you studying their activities from there, but I wonder if, based on that input from the day traders, if some effort was begun to explore what goes on in the brains of the folks on Wall Street, maybe in a separate division of the psychology department.
You know, it certainly would be. I mean, again, our UCLA Gambling Studies Program studies the causes and the clinical course of gambling addiction. We also study the social and recreational aspects of gambling, the economic, political, the social consequences of gambling. And it's interesting when you look at the whole Wall Street mindset and the whole American mindset and coupled of risk, impulse decision-making, and financial wanting, greed even. And it begins to tell a very interesting story of how we see ourselves as Americans and how we particularly see our relationships with money and material possessions. Again, America has the largest casinos in the world. California generates nearly $10 billion a year in gaming revenue. Oregon has been in a very progressive state in terms of having lots of gambling, but also a lot of gambling treatment as well. So it goes back to some of these very basic questions as a society. Why do we have so many casinos? Why do we gamble so much? Why do we take so many risks? Why do we have these things in America versus, say, other parts of the world that don't have these huge mega gambling resorts like we do here in America?
Jill Gonzalez, that's a great point that Dr. Fong just brought up, though, but Oregon has a fairly robust gambling problem and treatment program. In fact, in that list, it ends up 38th in rank, so actually not that bad. I mean, in the lower half of states with a problem, but because, as you mentioned, that's weighted for 30% and gambling friendliness rated for 70%, it shoots Oregon up the list a bit. I wonder how much, what kinds of responses you've gotten since you published the list. If you got people from South Dakota saying, "Hey, we're not that friendly to gambling," or Mississippi saying, "We're not that bad to gamblers."
You know, we really haven't, and I think the reason why it is rated like that, simply we just do have some more metrics in that gambling friendliness kind of category. So, obviously more things are going in there. That's why we made it a more like limited stakes gaming revenues, iGaming, as you mentioned. So it's not just the number of pure casinos there, which in some states completely correlates to its rank on the list. We also looked at things like daily fantasy sports, which I know Dr. Fong just mentioned, kind of relating it back to day trading and things like that. I think one of the reasons why Oregon is so much higher than California We looked at the overall legality here. Oregon, completely legal. California actually now has some laws under review or bills being considered that are looking at this legality and seeing if that is something that they want to change, as some other states have.
So that that California might become as liberal as Oregon in allowing gambling, you mean?
The opposite.
Oh, really? Less so?
Yeah, less so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Fong, I'm sure at some point somebody's going to ask, is there anything that gambling does that's good for the mind? I mean, taking guesses on things or any brain training element in there that could end up being good for people, assuming they weren't getting addicted to it?
You know, there is. And there have been some studies in the past showing that light and moderate gambling is good for social connections, good for health. I mean, my premise is very simple. This is a legal form of entertainment, and it is a huge industry. And it brings about an immense amount of fun for the vast majority of people. And I use that word fun. It's recreation. It's entertainment. It brings people together. It bonds people. That's what it's supposed to do. It's also a huge economic pillar of American industry, just the sheer number of jobs available. So at its best, that's what it is, just like another form of entertainment, like TV or movies or readings. At its worst, though, it is absolutely a spectacularly damaging psychiatric addiction. And for those 1-2% of Americans that develop this disorder, it is heart-wrenching and it is gut-wrenching. The same thing is true for tobacco and alcohol use disorder. So I think the larger view on this is that, again, this is a much bigger part of our American culture. It's not absolutely going away. And in fact, we need to have more discussions on how to gamble, in my mind, in a safe and healthy and protective way, instead of gambling in isolation and avoidance and problematic and ultimately destructive way. One plug I had to put in, Oregon and California lead the nation in state-funded gambling treatment programs and available services. Here in California, people can access it by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. And in Oregon, it's 1-877-MY-LIMIT. So those are the two phone numbers I'd like to make sure we get out there.
877-MY-LIMIT, well advertised in Oregon. Jill Gonzalez is with Wallet Hub. Dr. Timothy Fong is with the UCLA Gambling Studies Program. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
Okay, short break.